This is a Collider.com audio interview.
It's a pleasure to introduce Kevin Dunn, Ramon Rodriguez, director Michael Bay, Megan Fox, Josh Duhamel, and Tyrese Gibson. Special thanks to Michael Bay, who literally just walked off of a plane and drove himself here. So
from Moscow.
Yeah,
I wanted to be here.
Oh, please, Mike.
Can y'all say your names?
Into the microphone so they can.
So we can have the sound.
Yes.
You mean before we start answering questions or right now?
Right now.
I don't understand.
Go ahead.
Just say your name.
Okay, Mike Tyrese Gibson.
Very good.
Josh Duhamel.
Megan Fox.
Michael Bay.
Ramon Rodriguez.
Kevin Dunn.
Or Kevin Dunn.
Exactly.
He's going to do it right. Yeah, why not?
My question's for Megan. It's been great to see your rise to stardom from the first movie. From your perspective, what's changed for you since the first Transformers?
I mean, I think the movie, its success and how well it was received has opened a lot of doors for me career-wise, and I've been able to be a part of some films that I don't really feel like I deserve to have been a part of, and that's due greatly in part or solely to the success of Transformers. Like, I just did Jonah Hex with Josh Brolin and Michael Fassbender and John Malkovich, and people in general, just actors, don't get those kind of opportunities, and for me to have that is a huge blessing, and that's because of the success of this movie.
Anything like in your daily life?
Sure. I mean, you know, getting photographed at Whole Foods or like coming out of Rite Aid with your shampoo bottles and stuff, that's new for me, but that's not that crazy. You adjust to that pretty, you acclimate to that pretty quickly.
My question is one for Michael and one for you. Michael, this movie is destroying pyramid and the Smithsonian Museum and the U.S. military ship. So did you have anything, I cannot do this, you know, that they have experience for whatever, you have an idea of something you cannot make in this movie? And Megan, your character's costume is so... the skin showing.
I have those moments on a daily basis, but the process of picking those outfits, like, I don't have much of a say. And I remember Mike was like auditioning Ramon and some of the other characters, and there was just a room full of men upstairs in his office. And
two
I was,
young guys.
And no, it was Shia, Ramon, and two other actors,
and
you. And I had to like come up and down and knock on the door and try on all my wardrobe, and I had like 18 different outfits. And it was like white jean shorts and pink belly shirt and like motorcycle boots, and we went through like a whole thing, and Mike was selecting them in the process of
auditioning. It's called multitasking.
Right. Well, but I had no say. But I mean, he has an eye for what should be and should not be in the movie, so I just trust him.
And about your question, it's called Summer Fun. It's a robot movie.
This question's for Kevin, actually. Do you feel like your character shares the father role over Sam with Optimus? I mean, because you're both like a father figure to him, and especially you get in more in the action on this one too. So, you see any parallels between the two characters, between you and Optimus?
Well, as far as I know, he was conceived by myself. I don't think Optimus got in there, but well, yeah. I mean, I guess there is a parallel in the script that, you know, he needs the guidance of Optimus, and me, he kind of pulls off like kids regularly blow off their dad. But yeah, there's a paternal aspect to both characters, sure. Yeah.
Megan, you kind of explained to us how we're going to get males into the audience, but for Michael, I want you to tell me what was in here, especially for the ladies that you want to come see your movie.
Well, I think the first one, what was interesting about the first one, it's got relationships with parents and the kids, and, you know, Kevin actually is playing my father. That's very much how my parents were when I was growing up. what was making the movie accessible to everybody was the humor in it. You know, I think that's how you make it accessible to everyone. It's not just a fanboy movie. Most women hone in on the humor. There are a lot of young women that say, I just want to see robots kicking ass. I've heard that before. I think the relationship between Chai and Megan.
Tyrese offered to introduce himself in the second movie by doing a shirtless car wash scene in Office. Michael didn't go for it.
I didn't, yeah.
Thanks, Josh.
I have a question for Michael over here about the length of the film. So the IMAX yesterday was a little over 2.5 hours.
IMAX version is, we have film time, if you want to talk, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes exactly.
Does it have more than the non-IMAX, are there additional IMAX scenes only with that or no?
It has, I think, probably about a minute more of footage. It's got some more fighting footage that took place in the forest. Some additional stuff with Devastator. I have not seen it in IMAX. How did it look?
Great.
Really?
Yeah, the full frame scenes of them.
I'm excited to see that. I wasn't ready till this weekend. Really? Yeah.
Good afternoon, Joe Davis with Defense Media Agency. This question is for Megan.
Wait, where are you? Oh, there you are. Okay.
Thank you. Megan, what was the most favorite or memorable experience working with members of the military for the film?
I think just in general, I was really pleasantly, not surprised with them, but they're all extremely chivalrous and very respectful, clearly because they're disciplined, and they're so much better behaved than the rest of the cast is.
Wow.
including myself, though. Like they listen and take direction really well, and we're all just fucking
if
off.
If they can all be like...
Yeah, they. It adds authenticity to the movie. You know, Michael, you consult with the military on everything to make it authentic and to make it real. And it's also just, I enjoy being able to walk onto set and there's 100 real soldiers as opposed to walking on, it's 100 actors from Orange County or LA in fatigues. It was just overall a really pleasant experience for me. And I have an immense amount of respect for the soldiers and for our troops.
I have a question.
Who's actually doing the questions pointing here? Is there someone moderating this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My question is,
well, get in there, baby. Come on, don't be shy.
Could you guys talk a little bit about the preparation for the military training you underwent for this film and how that changed between this film and the
first film? I would say, honestly, that the first go-around was so much more intense than the second. Because we kind of went into it not knowing too much of nothing about the Air Force, the military, Navy SEALs. And for me, I didn't know the difference and the roles and the responsibilities of each one of the soldiers and the categories of soldiers. And so, you know, I worked closely with someone called a CCT, which is a combat controller, because I have to have dialogue to communicate with all of the aircraft. And so that dialogue is very difficult. And with Michael's overseeing the dialogue, we got to make sure that we cater to the real, authentic dialogue of the Air Force, but yet create a balance of making sure that the common folks who don't understand that language could understand it too. So it was a bit of a challenge, especially with all the explosions and stuff going on around. It's a little challenge.
The first one we had a few days out in Fort Irwin, and then the second time we just sort of jumped into it. I was in New York and just sort of had a bit of a refresher course, but there are military advisors, Harry Humphries is out there, there's a number of people from all facets of the military, and I think that we both took a lot of pride in trying to represent the military as closely as we could. I've got a lot of friends in the military in Andover and Iraq, so that was my main focus, was to try to, you know, represent them well and make them proud. And if we didn't, they would let us know.
Hi, Lindsay with HollyScoop.com. This question is for Tyrese and Josh.
What were some of your favorite memories of making the movie? I know Tyrese, you have a lot of comedic lines. Can you remember any? And Josh, is there anything that, you know, sticks out in your mind making this film, like, you know, imagining robots in front of you and everything?
I would say compared to even the first one, I think our roles were so much more serious this time than the first round, because there's so many moments comedic-wise throughout the film, and I guess, you know, the outcome was Michael wanted us to kind of play it a little more serious to kind of raise the stakes and the pressure of what's really going on, which was fine. I enjoyed doing the funny stuff. To try and create a balance, but you know, I just overall had fun with the experience, and you know, we all vibed and was laughing and having big parties and good energy on the set. Wow, there's so much pressure on the set. You know, Michael runs a real tight ship, you know what I mean? Keeps everybody on the edge, everybody's full throttle. I'm like, look, man, if I don't do a party, I'm gonna go crazy right now. I tried to keep everybody, all the whole crew, the cast, everybody having fun while we was working.
Yeah, he took the night shift. I guess the most fun I had was the scene getting to, you know, in the last answer I said that, you know, I do try to be as accurate as we could, and then, you know, my favorite scene in the movie was throwing the National Security Advisor off the plane. So, but that's the most fun I had. It was just a fun scene to do, and there was a nice little stunt involved, and yeah, that was probably my most memorable. That or the gigantic bomb that went off.
Yeah.
1,000 gallons.
Yeah.
1,000. We made history. The biggest explosion, practical explosion in the history of filmmaking that included
with the actors present. Yeah. But Michael holds the other record. You hold both
records.
Yeah,
well, let's not talk about that.
Okay, let's not talk about
that. Let's not talk about that. That's the world record. Guinness Book World Record. Anyway.
So you got local, you got world.
Michael, I'm curious about the characters of the twins.
Mm-hmm.
They said you had a lot of input in that. I'm just curious how the inspiration for the twins, the Mudflap and the other guy, I think.
Well, I wanted two kind of younger Transformers. But with those two guys, we used a guy who played SpongeBob. And another actor. And what's interesting when you work with voice actors is, especially with the twins, they did a lot of improv for their parts. We liked their improv, and from there we would animate to their stuff. And you know, when you do character animation, it's when you're building a character, it's not like an actor where you shoot the scene and you've got it and you move on. With character animation, you shoot a bit of the dialogue, you work with the animators, and a little bit more of the dialogue, and you keep going back and forth, and it kind of builds until you finally have the shot that you want. I just wanted something where that would appeal to younger kids. It seemed to really gravitate to those two characters. It's like the little engine that could with the Devastator scene.
I have a question for Megan. How do you react when you see your image in a big IMAX screen? And how do you like your character to be the sex symbol in the movie?
I haven't seen the movie in IMAX, and I just saw it for the first time a few days ago when we were in London. And I usually don't watch myself. Like, I don't watch playback. I don't look at still photos. I have a phobia of it, but I forced myself to sit down. Like, I basically shot an entire glass of champagne so that I could get through the sitting of it, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised. And I, like, halfway through, was sort of overcome with genuine emotion, and I wanted to, like, hug Michael because I had gratitude for him for making this movie. Like, it so far surpassed my expectations, and I think, you know, the character is sexy, but women in movies in general are sexy, and especially in Michael's movies, and he knows how to make movies that get people in the theater, and if that's part of it, if that's part of the formula.
But if you look at the movie, there, we got that first shot out of the way just to get it out for the young boys and move on,
right.
Okay? All right?
That's why you should consider that scene with Tyrese washing off.
Yes, I know, I know. Because the rest of the movie with her, it's not about sexy, you know?
Okay, all the actors, there's a lot of running in this movie, and there's got to be injuries, there's got to be some trials and tribulations with that. And Ramon, Kevin, everybody ran like crazy. So were there any injuries? Did anybody just finally sit down and say, Michael, I'm not running another inch?
Like
Navy
SEAL.
That's right.
Navy SEAL.
Traumatic experience. No, Michael wanted to get this long shot of at the end coming around and seeing Sam and running and then getting this big beefalo guy, special agent, tackling me and throwing me on the ground. So he talked me into it. And the whole secret was that I had to have my feet to land. And we did it quite a few times.
We did it three times.
Yeah. And the last time I didn't get my feet down. And
that's the take we used.
And that, you'll see that take. And it was his shoulder and my sciatic nerve and the sand, boom, but at the same time, I missed Tyrese's party.
Anybody else have any running stories? Running injury stories?
We ran.
A lot of running stories, yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
I popped a shoulder, which was a lot of fun. On the Devastator scene.
What'd you pop a shoulder?
Oh, yeah, bro.
You never told me that.
Well, I didn't want to get you worried.
You want to sue me?
No. Yeah, so we were shooting the Devastator scene where he's sucking all the sand, and I had to hold on to this pole, and Michael Bay thought it would be a really great idea to bring out two fans that blow 100 miles per hour each and put them right in front of my face. So I had sand, soot, dirt blowing in my face, and I had two guys behind me with wires attached to my ankles pulling me. Not enough yet. We need cars flipping over my head. So we brought two cars, and he literally had them attached to a hydraulic crane, flipped inches above my head, and so the guys were yanking, you know, on the cables on my ankles, and yeah, on one of the takes, my shoulder popped out, and we continued rolling, because actually you couldn't
even
hear.
That was the shot we used.
That was probably the shot you used, and thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
It was great.
Rick Allen, Clatchy Wire Service. Megan, I want you to talk about the first Transformers introduced you to that world of having to work through creatures that will be put in later. Mm-hmm. Was it easier this time, or is it still a hard acting job?
No, it was definitely easier because we've seen them at this point. And, you know, we've seen Optimus, and we've heard his voice, and we know how he moves, and it's the same with all of the robots. And once you're able to visualize something's presence, it's a lot easier to sort of fake interact with it. And I think those scenes are, I think they're some of the easiest scenes to shoot. I enjoy them because you sort of, we've gotten good at being able to synchronize and pick an eye line, and you basically, you know, you scream your dialogue at it and you avoid the area where you know it is. And I enjoy those scenes. We end up usually doing a ton of takes because ILM, you know, it needs to be specific. The light needs to be right, and they need to be able to add it in and make it look the way that they do. But it's not that, it wasn't that difficult this time around.
I was going to ask too, there's a lot of great music in the film. Do you guys ever listen to any music to get in the character, prepare, to kind of get rhythms going?
Sometimes we do play music on the set for some scenes. Some actors like it a lot. You mean in their trailer? I don't know what they do in their trailer.
Mostly Alan.
Mostly Alan.
Journey.
Yeah. The Carpenters. Marvin Gaye.
Hi, Lou Faye from CNA Movie. Question for Michael and for Ramon. Michael, when the shot from the aircraft, are those stock footage, are you actually allowed to go onto the aircraft? And then Ramon, it's great to see that Latino character lived in this one. You got killed off in the first one. And how much improvisation do you get to do with the Spanish? I know the writers speak Spanish, so they have influence in that area.
In terms of stock footage, I don't like using stock footage. So all that stuff was shot by us. We had incredible access from the military, which is very rare. All those planes, that's us shooting it. They flew 100 feet over our set at a timed when there were six F-16s out doing a mission, and we timed their mission for when we wanted them to come over our set four times, and we were setting off live explosions down below, and we timed it with them. And improv?
Yeah, you know, luckily Michael is really into improv. You know, if you have cool ideas, I started realizing throughout the process that if he laughed at something, it meant it was pretty good. I mean, he's a really good, like as an audience, he's really good at that. As a director and being in, like, he's kind of like the audience member. But Yeah, we improvised a lot of scenes, and he let me throw in some Spanish in there, and let you know, expand on, you know, Leonardo da Ponce de Leon Spitz. I got to create this fun name, and yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
Okay, I'm Natasha. I'm from E. So my question is for Megan and for Michael, and actually anybody else who wants to jump on. One of the screenwriters was saying that one of the themes for the movie is if you separate humanity from technology, then you run into problems. And I was wondering if you guys maybe feel a little bit more trigger shy around technology after making this movie with Twitter, with the internet, with everything. Are you more separate from your laptops, anything like that?
Well, I don't know what Twitter is.
Neither do I, by the way. I don't know.
That just seems weird.
So.
I love Twitter.
He's the only one that has
yes.
Twitter.
You know, I took the fans on a world tour to all 6-7 countries we went to, took pictures of all of the historical places in Rome and Amsterdam, and I took all of them on tour with me. I told them, pull out your passports, I'm taking you on tour with Twitter. I love it.
What did you like about it? Was there immediacy with the fans, or were they?
Oh yeah, it's the instant gratification of posting a picture of us just hanging out somewhere, or just doing something, or all of these different moments throughout these countries, and the fans are like, whoa, you know, they get to see these images and things that they wouldn't be able to see unless you sent it on your Twitter. So I love it.
Which is why many don't hang with Tyrese, because you don't know if you're going to get an embarrassing picture. Everyone on the planet. Here's me with tequila on my forehead.
It was interesting to note that you named President Obama instead of having a fictional president. Could you talk about that decision to use his name, especially in light of his national security advisor being kind of stupid?
Yeah, I wasn't really putting that, you know, remember, it is summer fun, by the way. Secondly, the Obama thing came about because I was walking in a Vegas airport, and he was walking by himself carrying his bag and his hanging bag over his shoulder, and this was after I had just seen him in the beginning of his campaign, and we were walking side by side, and I said, hey, I saw you the other night. I liked what you had to say the other night. I really liked hearing your stuff. And I introduced myself, and he says, what do you do? I'm a director. And then he says, oh, what movies? And I said, oh, these movies. And he says, oh, you're a big-ass director. He said. I said, I've seen a bunch of your movies. So that's why I decided to put him in.
Did you really submit?
Yeah, he really did.
That's cool. Yeah, love that, man.
Josh is very involved in politics, by the way. The whole time we were filming, he did not miss one speech, the polls, anything. We had so many conversations in the car on the way to the set about the whole campaign. I learned a lot, Josh. You're the greatest.
That's what I'm there for.
I was just worried after throwing him off the plane, I might get audited.
Such a stressful day, what did you do to relax? And as a follow-up, could you talk about what you did to stay in shape for the role?
Me specifically?
All of you.
But you I know in New Mexico, I think what all of us did to relax after a hard day of work was go drink at Chili's.
It's the only restaurant there.
We drank a lot. Then to stay in shape, I didn't have the motivation to work out after we would shoot a 16-hour day. So whatever happens to me,
we don't shoot 16s, we shoot 12s.
Like, no, that's not possible.
We shoot 12s.
Okay,
we shoot 12s.
Okay, we shoot 12-hour days. Well, after 12 hours, I was too tired to work out, yeah. So I didn't really maintain much.
Days are physical.
How do you do it, Josh Duhamel, you specimen of a human being?
Well, Megan, honestly, you know, you're out there literally sweating all day long, and don't have a lot of energy.
Running in the sand, too.
Yes, running in the sand. Tyrese and I worked out a little bit. It was more of a
together?
Personal competition, yeah. He would spot me, and I would spot him. It was a big deal. But, no, we would have honestly, before we started the first one, I remember Michael told me, you know, come ready, you know, be in shape. You need, you know, I demand a lot of my male actors, especially in these movies, so I did. You know, I just tried to be as strong and
ready to go as I could.
We worked out twice a day, though. We worked out before we went to the set.
No.
And after the set, we would come and get our 5 miles in. Have you ever done 5 miles? Did you do maybe three?
I didn't run 5 miles.
You used to run one. Three?
Two.
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What else?
Hi, I'm Ashley Hillard with MoviePool.net, and I think you did a great job of incorporating Shia's hand injury into filming. How did that affect everything on set? Was it easy to get everything back on track?
Well, I actually read it on CNN online, and I'm like, this can't be true. And I called my line producer, Ian Bryce, and he goes, it's true. And I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, let's shut down. I'm like, we can't shut down. Because when you've got a train going, it's so expensive to shut a picture like this down. And I'm like, we had an action scene in the library that day. We were shooting on Monday, and I said, let's just go for it. Let's just not stop. Let's use Vlad, his stuntman, and try to cover as much stuff as we can. And then on Tuesday we shut down. We had to mix and match everything that we, you know, pulling from different scenes we can shoot without him. We didn't know how long he was going to be down. And immediately I had them find the best people in the world to make a special cast that had never been made with a Kevlar fingers, very thin, so you can photograph it. Because the problem was if he were to jam his fingers, he could lose his fingers forever. So we had some experts of the world kind of come up with this design. We were very lucky because we had shot a lot of the beginning of the movie, so we were right at a turning point where we can kind of... Whoops.
Pink phone call?
Hello.
Hello. We were
okay. Don't worry. Remember
that call for the rest of your life.
So...
This also, whoever this is, the tape ran out. So, but also, I mean, your question, like, did it set things back? I think
we were very lucky.
Everyone's also very lucky for Shia's level of commitment to this movie because he showed up with his injury and acted as though he didn't have an injury and still went balls to the wall and completely committed and did things that were not safe for him to do, but he wanted this movie to be as real as possible. So I think that helped everyone out a lot.
Yeah, we'd have arguments. He would take his cast off, and I said, no, put your cast on. He goes, no, I'm fine. I said, put your cast back on. It was just, you were trying to protect the hand.
Remember when he cut his eye, and you wanted to work that day?
Yeah. No. That's crazy. Yeah. Can't hear you.
Sorry. This is Maggie from Chinese News. The question is, the Shanghai scene, you should not be in Shanghai.
Right.
Is that because it's very difficult to get permission, or you just...
Well, you have a choice when you have a budget and you try to stay on your budget. Do you want to go to Egypt to shoot the pyramids, which are extremely hard to make digitally, or to go to Shanghai? Shanghai, I didn't physically need to go to Shanghai to shoot that scene. So, you know, that's where... I definitely told the Chinese when I was in Korea and Japan, with not a lot of Chinese press, that I'd love to shoot in China. I know some crew members that have shot there said it's great. So, one day.
Last question.
Yes, Joe Davidson with Defense Media Agency again. This is for anyone that would like to respond. If there's an opportunity to work with the Department of Defense in any of your futures, would you consider taking that on again? Any of you?
Working with what? The Department of Defense?
Taking on a role as an enlisted NCO like Tyrese as a major?
Yeah, I would. I mean, they were great to work with. I think that's a question. Michael has a great relationship with them.
I would only do it if I can control an aircraft carrier.
which was done.
Yeah, you get so much information, and they're so ready to tell you about everything that they're doing. I was talking about tank commander on that.
Yeah.
It's just great. You just learn so much about what goes into everything that these...
They are a special breed. They're very impressive. They really are.
The aircraft carrier stuff was one of a kind. Getting there was very unsafe, but yet safe. And leaving the same thing. But I mean, we did a big party on the boat. It was 5,600 people in the middle of the water on this boat.
What Tyrese is saying, it's not unsafe. It's just when they brief you, like a flight attendant would say, okay, these are doors, exits, under right, blah, 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 whatever. They go, okay, if we have a water landing and I'm dead, you need to, someone needs to pull this cord right here. It's one of those briefings. So it's just down to the point. And if you pull your inflate your vest, you will die.
All right, thanks, guys. I just want to ask you, have you heard anything from Cheyenne Hell? His hand is doing...
Yeah, it's very good. They had three surgeries. Right, you know, they sculpted a piece of bone from his hip, made fingers, because they were very crushed.
Yes, I know.
So, you know, he had really good doctors.
So you had to tell him no a couple times and say, you know, no, you can't.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because safety for me is always the first importance, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want that on my back, you know?
Have you a lot of ideas for the second one or the third one now?
I don't know. Let's see how this one does.
I'm just curious about how many minutes of deleted scenes might be on the DVD.
I don't know. We're figuring it out right now. Could be like 7, 8.
And was there ever any thought of doing even more in IMAX, or was this sort of?
Yeah, I mean, I regret not shooting Petra. I mean, in IMAX, you know. So, but the IMAX is very expensive, you know, because to make digital effects in IMAX is expensive. So,
do you see this? I'm sorry.
Budget concern, really.
Do you see this IMAX thing that you did for this as something you'll be doing for all your future movies?
I don't know if the movie serves it, you know. But I think it's a neat idea.
I thought it was great. You had the Stennis back.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're